if you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
So here we are in the book of Acts. We find Peter and John nearing the temple. There is a man there who is lame, and he expects to receive money, that is charity, and Peter's got nothing to give him. He doesn't have money to give him. He actually has something far better to give this lame man who had expected mere pocket change. He receives not only the ability to walk, but also faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about this famous account of Peter and John healing a lame man in Acts chapter 3 as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
What brings Peter and John to the temple in the first place?
Peter and John were always interested in worship. And it says very clearly they were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now, before somebody thinks that's 9 a.m. or 9 p.m., that is really reckoning of Roman time. Jewish time was a little different because the first hour started at 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. You may have remembered when Jesus was on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 26:46 says, at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Now, we know he was put on the cross around the fourth hour, 9 a.m., and the ninth hour, therefore, would be between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. In fact, early Christians continued to use these hours when they would go to prayer, and we even have something of it from a takeover from the medieval times. We have a matin service, we have compline, we have vespers, and there's a number of services, therefore, during the day, which we call by the hour in which they are in.
So they're going to the temple to pray. I take it would not be unusual to find in the temple surroundings men like this one, who is, we would say today, disabled, therefore in this society of first century Palestine, reduced to begging.
We always are pretty negative about the new religion called Judaism because it turned a religion of grace into a religion of works. However, one of the positive aspects of Judaism, it did have an emphasis on doing good to a neighbor in need, and that neighbor in need, of course, needed to be Jewish, as the parable of the Good Samaritan makes very clear. At any rate, therefore, it was not unusual to have individuals like this asking for alms, and all that an alm is a money given for the poor, the impoverished. We have, for example, here in St. Louis, houses where they give out free meals during the day, breakfast, lunch, and supper, where they have beds, especially on cold nights, etc. So these people, a lot of them were situated around the temple begging for alms, which this man did as Peter and John approached the temple.
So this man, is it safe to say this man has no reason to expect anything from Peter and John except a little pocket change from them?
Exactly. He may not have known Peter and John, and he was simply asking for alms, and he was going to get real surprised as to what they were really going to give him.
So how do you explain this? Because it's almost as though Peter takes the initiative. It says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It seems like they're, I mean, this isn't just someone tossing coins to a man as they walk by without any attention. This is a real encounter between the apostles and this lame man.
You know, I find this very parallel to what Jesus did. Someone comes up to him who is blind or lame or whatever. I've got a daughter who is sick. What does Jesus do? Your sins are forgiven. And people look, who is this who can forgive sins? Jesus, in his ministry, always gave far more than the person expected. And, of course, once that gift of the forgiveness was given and that person trusted in Jesus, Jesus would always say, and your faith has made you whole. That is, your eyesight came back, you're now able to hear, you were lame, now you're able to walk. It's really quite interesting. Even when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, the people were expecting he was going to give condolences and to cry over the death of his good friend. No, he was also going to raise him from the dead. And so this is very significant. I don't remember anyone, Harley, coming to my adult instruction who is not Lutheran during the 28 years I was at my congregation for the right reason. They were coming maybe to get free tuition at the school, or they needed more friends or advice on how to keep a marriage together or whatever. But when they came to our adult instruction, we gave them the best news they had ever heard, that no longer did they have to worry about being saved on the basis of their works, but they were going to be totally saved on the basis of the works of Jesus Christ. So that's really the task of the church. Regardless of the reason that someone may be drawn to the door of the church, we're always ready to give them more than they even ever expected.
Why did the apostles do these miracles? This is the apostolic miracle ministry is one that we find going on throughout the book of Acts, and they're really in a lot of ways doing the same kind of signs, and Jesus says, greater signs than these will you do as Jesus himself. So why are the apostles given this ability, or why does Christ, through them, continue to heal those who are in need?
Yes, it was somewhat interesting to me to find that the text only goes to verse 10, and I would encourage the teachers to go on, because the answer to your question, after they healed this man, well, a lot of them are wondering, how did this happen? And it's in verse 12, Peter says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his child or servant Jesus, and then they start talking about Jesus. I'm convinced that for the same reason Jesus did miracles. Remember when John the Baptizer disciples, how do we know you're the Messiah? Well, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, etc., the blind see. Guess what? The apostles are continuing that ministry, and they're giving all the credit to Jesus, only announcing much more that he is not only the holy and righteous one, but he is also the author of life, whom God the Father raised from the dead.
So he takes the man by the hand and raises him up, and it says that immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. The man's response isn't just to get up and kind of shuffle off. He appears to go into the temple with them for the hour of prayer.
This is quite something we need to have a note. He really wasn't allowed into that portion of the temple that where prayer was being held. He was really outside of that area with the women, the children, and the other infirmed, and the Gentiles. But the fact that he was able to go into the temple proper, praising God indicates that he definitely was giving all the credit to none other but God himself. And we see this happen many a time. Remember, on Thanksgiving, we often talk about the healing of the 10 lepers. Well, 9 of them kept on going to the priest to show that they were healed, but that one who was a Samaritan returned to Jesus, and when he was praising God, he was praising none other than Jesus himself. And so I believe that what Peter is doing is making it clear they weren't the ones who did these miracles. They're not some kind of miracle worker on their own power, but it is only through the power of Jesus that this has occurred.
And since this man was lame from birth, that's what Luke tells us here in the Acts account, it is quite likely that this is the first time he's ever been allowed to go and pray in the temple.
Yes, and the fact that it says very clearly, and leaping up, he also began to walk. That would have been the first time that he had ever been able to do that. That's something that would have been really remarkable to the people who saw him doing that. That word to leap up meant he was kind of jumping from one portion of the walk to the other portion as he went into the temple. And it even says that the people saw him walking and then also praising God, recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for a generous giving. We see these people. Well, when I drive to the International Center each morning to do Law and Gospel, there's two times we stop at a red light, and often there's somebody in a wheelchair there. And I remember I was parked all three or four cars behind him, and an individual at the front of the line got out of his car, walked over to the man, put a bill in his hat, and then walked back to the car. And it kind of reminded me of what was going on here. And I've often thought about just walking over to them, because they're right beside the International Center, and talking to them about a far greater gift than the funds that they're receiving.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 14th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today. Peter and John heal a lame man in Acts chapter 3. When we come back, there is the response of the people. They are completely amazed, filled with wonder and amazement at all that had happened to him. We'll talk about that response, which is not unusual in Jesus' ministry or in the ministry of the apostles, with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. By the way, you'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Stay tuned.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska.
Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter and John healing a lame man in Acts chapter 3. Tom, the response here of the people is amazement. It says, amazement and wonder at all that had happened to this man. As you say, here's a man lame from birth, never learned to walk. So the fact that he even gets up and actually doesn't just walk, but leaps around and follows the apostles into the temple, that on top of the fact that he had never walked and he is now able to do all these things. It would be amazing to anybody. What do we make of the crowd's response of amazement and wonder?
I believe that when Jesus said, you'll do more than I will do, it first occurred at Pentecost, where look, thousands of people came to faith. Now, I had forgotten this until I studied it for today, but it indicates that many of those who heard the word, it says, I'm reading chapter 4, verse 4, many of those who heard the word that Peter had said about Jesus believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Now, this story just doesn't run through chapter 3, verse 10. It continues throughout chapter 3, and then Peter and John are arrested by the council, and then it continues in chapter 4 when the council asks this question to them, by what power or by what name did you do this? And they're referring to this man being healed. And it says very clearly, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, let it be known to all of you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. And I'll tell you, the council couldn't figure out what to do with them, because the man who was healed, verse 14, was standing beside them, and therefore they had nothing to say in opposition. And by the way, verse 22 indicates that the man was more than 40 years old, and that is way past the age where he is able to witness. If he had been only a child or a young boy, then they could have got around that. But it shows once more how God uses situations. For example, a good example of this is your program previous to mine, talking about what happened in Florida. And Todd, you use the occasion to make sure that the word of God got out about God's understanding of homosexuality, also how we are to be loving towards them, and what an opportunity this is for them to repent. Here's an example where a man who was lame could now be healed. He praised God and gave an opportunity for the apostles to explain how it was done. And when you listen to their explanation, it doesn't make any sense. A guy from Nazareth was crucified, rose from the dead, and now this man is healed. And I'm just struck by this, that the number of men who came to believe were 5,000. It shows once more the Romans 10 passage that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And at times, something else has to happen, like the miracles Jesus did, to alert people to the message.
Well, and what it also shows is we tend to think of the Pentecost conversions, which we're told number in the 3,000.
That's right.
Was kind of the peak, and that from that point on, they're kind of just picking up a few stragglers here and there. This is, by the time you get to Acts chapter 5, you have in the environs of Jerusalem, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 believers already.
Oh, yes. In fact, I remember reading a passage that I think was in John 4:41. Yeah. And many more believed because of his word. And in John 7, it says, yet many of the people believed in him. So there were many who believed in him, but the reason they didn't do much is that they were afraid of the authorities, but not after Pentecost, because after Pentecost, entire households came to believe. And in Acts 21, it says this, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. So there were thousands and thousands, and it shows how quickly the Christian message swept through the world at that time.
Now, it's also the opportunities you mentioned a few minutes ago for Peter to preach his second great sermons in the book of Acts. The first one, of course, is Pentecost. The second one here is found in Acts chapter 4, where in the first one, he's very accusatory, this you crucified Jesus. In this one, he says you acted out of ignorance. Is he softening his message there?
No. He's almost repeating what Jesus says from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. This is something that I've always remembered, that this is the mercy of God, that God realizes if you knew what you were doing, even as a Christian, we would never sin. But we are so encapsulated by our old Adam that often we continue to sin. I said that at a Bible study this morning I was in. I said, I can't think of any one sinless good work I've done in my whole life. And of course, some of the people were surprised, and then I explained it. I said, well, look, when I do a good work, the old Adam always has the wrong motivation. I may be with a new man helping to pick up groceries that a lady dropped on the street. With the old Adam, I'm looking up and down the road to see if any members are going by to see what a wonderful pastor I am. And the point I was making is that it is impossible to purely good work. So all of us continue to sin out of, in a sense, ignorance. Because if we really thought about it, boy, we would hate our sin, and that really is what's referred to as repentance.
After Peter and John are arrested there later in the story,
yes,
it gives Peter another opportunity to testify, and he does so with those famous words in verse 12 of chapter 4. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. With about a minute here, Tom, what is he saying?
Saying that which is the essence of the Christian message. In every other religion in the world, salvation is found in you. Are you doing enough good works? Are you meriting your way to heaven? Are you pleasing to God? But in Christianity, it is the only religion where God becomes our substitute in doing everything that we should have done in order to be saved, and then that salvation is transferred to us. And that's why there is salvation in no one else, because there is no other name under heaven given among men, remember Jesus is a man, by which we must be saved.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will be leading us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching his disciples to pray there in Luke chapter 11. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you so much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss depression. Pastor Todd Peppercorn will be our guest. We'll talk with Dr. Ken Sherb about Reformation pastors, in particular 16th century reformer Martin Luther's concern that pastors be well trained and his concern about what he called sneak pastors. And we'll get our weekly update on the November elections from journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and of the Federalist. So all of this is in order to testify of Jesus when given the opportunity. These healings are all there as the prelude to speak of Jesus Christ as the salvation, the only salvation of all men. What does Peter give this lame man? He not just the ability to walk after 40 years of inability, but he gives him the greater message that he hears there in the temple of Jesus Christ, the one who has made the sacrifice for the sins
of the world. The name, he's given the name of Jesus by which all of us must be saved. He's given that salvation that is free, freer than someone throwing coins at you when you're a beggar. It is absolutely free, given without any merit or worthiness in us from Jesus Christ and his cross alone. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.